الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قد أفلح المؤمنون، صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers, ulama ikram, friends, Allah Ta'ala has already declared that the Muslim has won. So this entire life of this world is a competition, it's a race, and in this race Allah Ta'ala wants us to win. Therefore He declared قَدَ فَلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the Muslim, the mu'min has already won. In all that we do, we want to gain. Students that are studying, then they want a good pass at the end of the year. They want to win. And that winning brings them so much of joy. He's got his report, he's joyous, he's happy, he's going about showing his friends, family, the results that he's achieved. Man opens up a business, and his concern is also, I must win, I must gain something. The profits must just double and treble all the time. The child is getting into the marriage, then the parents are wishing the same for him, that this must be a prosperous, a happy, successful marriage. So Allah Ta'ala also wants that this life must be a life where we are successful, where we have won. But now, what's the requirement? What's the criteria? So, the first thing that the Quran actually speaks about in this verse here, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. خُشُوع can be translated in different ways: humbled, focused, concentrating. So this concentration and this humility is developed from the namaz. As we build and we improve on our namaz, then that quality of humility grows within our heart. We are humble. Approaching the house of Allah Ta'ala, from the time we leave our home, right till we come to the masjid, we are thinking to ourselves, whose house am I going to? As we are approaching, أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. There is a sense of fear, he's apprehensive, there's hope that is overwhelming, and he's coming to the house of Allah Ta'ala in that state. So the masjid is not a center for socializing and entertaining or covering up with all the black chat that we had. It's not for that. It is that we come, we refocus, we should express our humility, and this must commence from the home. So as we are approaching the masjid, then we have got a frame of mind. We are not just going through a routine. Otherwise what happens to the namaz and every other act of ibadat, it just You are just going through the motion. Went to ruku, went to sajda, and end. But now, this level of khushu, how do you bring it out? Allah wants us to win. And gaining a good path requires khushu. So, this is explained in the Quran Sharif. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So Allah Pak wants to see how well this ibadat is done. More than He asking you to do it in abundance, He wants to see how well you have done it. And we also, when this food prepared, then we don't want to see how much of food is prepared. But we want to see how well it's done. Even if it's just two dishes, but it's done very well. So it's a different thing, we appreciate it differently. Rather than this 20 dishes prepared, and not a single one is done well. You don't want to eat it, you don't want to come near it. So what's the link? The thing is that it's done well. So when we want our food, we want it very well. And now when we're making an offering to Allah Ta'ala, then isn't it the right thing? Isn't it just the logical thing that it's done well? And getting this well is when we prepare our mind for it. You made up your mind, and this preparation of the mind is about the most important thing. Get the mind right. The entire body listens to the mind. You're sitting in your home, and a thought passes the mind that I need to go to the Kentucky, right? So the whole body is activated just on account of one thought. One thought passes the mind, and the whole body is activated. Someone was sitting at home, and they spoke about learning deen. The mind agreed. Then you see this one child, and the next 10 years of his life is dedicated for deen. Why? The right thought had come to the mind. And the mind then activates the entire body. So the importance of getting the mind right. If the mind is not right, then its goals will be different. How important it is to have the goal right. You know, they say changing the goalpost. So how important it is to have the goal right. You know, I remember when I was a child, maybe I was 7 years of age, it was just about Maghrib time. We were playing football, and that time now, early 1960s. So now, it's just about Maghrib time, about 3-4 minutes left. Now, if they're going to score the goal, they'll win, they'll just win the whole match. I am in the goals, and there's 5 people from the other side, came right to the parlor. I know I don't stand a chance, they will go through me. So now in those days, you're playing a very informal way. You want to break this side, want to break that side, and that becomes the goal, that becomes the parlor. But then now I have to do something to save the team. So I took the brick, one brick, and pushed it on the other side. Now, he came to score, he scored. The whole goal post was changed, lost the match, they lost the match. But you see this goal, I'm just showing an example, but what I need to illustrate is goal. Again, the same concept of goal, right, understand it well, right. You are in a match again, and there is no goal at all. There's no parlor at all. Right? So it's a professional league match, and there is no goal at all. No goal at all. So will you appreciate being there? You would say, "But I didn't come to see the fun here. I didn't come to see how well you keep the ball, or how much you keep it on the air, or how well you can hit the thing. I came to see that you are faithful to this team or not. That's what I came to see. How well you're going to be performing." And for that you need to have a goal. Exactly the same for the life to go right. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We need to have a goal. So to the extent we take cognizance of the goal will be the quality of the action. See, those people that are playing, they take cognizance of the goal. When they take cognizance of the goal, they are working hard. And if they aren't taking cognizance of the goal, they're going in circles. They're wasting your time, they're wasting their time, they're wasting their whole reputation. So as long as they keep to the goal, then there is a direction. Now, we need to identify what's our goal. If you got the goal, then we are working, and working constructively. We're working very well. Why? We've got a goal. We understand we've got a direction, we've got a goal. Right. I've been thinking, the Quran Sharif got its own style, right? So if the Quran Sharif speaks about a problem, right, identifies the problem, around there it will show you the solution also. You know? Just look within those verses, within those ayahs, you'll find a solution as well. So if there's a problem, the Quran will definitely show you, alright, what's the solution? So the first verses that were revealed, all of us know it's Iqra, right? And then after that, immediately Allah says, innal insana kalla, innal insana liyatwa. No. Mankind has transgressed. He's crossed the limit. But what was the catalyst? What made him cross the limit? Ar-ra'ahu istaghna. He thought himself to be too much, self-sufficient. He showed an attitude. This morning I spoke about the same thing, takabbur. He thought too much of himself. He thought himself to be too much in self. He's independent, he doesn't need anything. Now look at the verse again, look at it from a different perspective. Look at it, a child comes to the madrasa, right, first 1 week, or as he's coming to the madrasa, and he'll be very modest, very humble with his ustads, put the shoes right, show respect. He comes across the ustad, he'll shake his hand, sometimes may kiss the hand as well. So now, he shows that level of respect and humility because he thinks, I don't know anything. I am dependent on the teacher, and because I depend on him, therefore I need to show that humility and that respect. So now as he progresses in the years, coming on to second year, third year, fourth year, so he says to himself, now I've just equaled, you know, around the same now. I know what he knows. We're almost on par now. And then as he's coming to the final year, he says, now I've overtaken them. Now I just need to keep the little respectful, just need to show respect because he's my ustad. You see that, ar-ra'ahu istaghna. So, this now becomes a catalyst for his failure and collapsing. Where he thinks himself to be self-sufficient, I don't need them, now I'm on par with them, I've excelled, I've gone ahead of them. So that becomes the reason for his failure, for his collapsing. Outwardly it may seem that he's got the word. But the word is not sufficient. Have you got the essence? The word is one thing, and the essence is a different thing. You know, now Ramadan time, all of us are talking of the rose essence to add onto the milk, right? And serve at iftar time. Now imagine if that thing got the color, but it doesn't have the essence, doesn't have the flavor. You prefer to buy it. Do you want to purchase it? So the more important thing is the essence, right? You got that essence, you prepare to pay the price. So though the body of the ibadat is very important, it's farz, ruku, qawma, qiyam, sajda, all these are important. But equally important is that khushu. What are you talking about? That you're humbled on account of the magnanimity, the majesty, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And you just feel humbled. Imagine now, you're on the death row, just imagine for a moment, death row, you're appearing in court, and then they give you a life sentence. At that moment when you're appearing before the judge, what happens? Jittering, aren't you? You know the power that this person has, the magistrate or the judge, what power he has. And you know, if he just looks at you favorably, you may just run out, you may just go out. So you understand the magnanimity, you understand the power he yields, you understand what's behind him. So you show him that level of respect. Exactly the same, if we have the understanding, ma'rifat, the understanding of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the presence of Allah Ta'ala, then our hearts are humble. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Then your namaz is different. And this was a very gleaming, very distinct feature in the mutaqaddimin. As they progress in age, in ilm, then the khushu also just progressed. that humility, that azmat of Allah Ta'ala, that yaqeen of the hereafter, all that just grew proportionately as they grew in ilm, in understanding, this thing also just grew accordingly. So now the gauge is, now the checkpoint is, I'm progressing, has the khushu grown in my heart or not? You know, it's you're eating a mango or a fruit, more than the looks is the taste. So that khushu is the taste. The looks also is important, I don't say it's not important, but more than that is the taste, is the flavor. You got the flavor, anybody wants to purchase it. But you lost the flavor, so no, it's enough, enough is enough. You don't want to purchase it. So if you look at the aslaf, all of them had this. As they're progressing, one ayat is recited to them, and they're crying, they can't contain themselves. One person says, I came to meet Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and he was engaged in his awabin after Maghrib. And he went on reciting the verse, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. An atom, ذَرَّة can mean a small ant, right? Little ant. We translate it for our convenience as an atom, right? You have that, the weight of an atom, the weight of a small ant, that amount of good you have, you will see it. And exactly the same, if the weight of an atom of wrong, you will see that as well. He said, I sat down there, and Imam Sahib didn't know that I was waiting for him. And he just went on reciting the verse, and just crying away. 1 hour, 1.5 hour, he spent, and he's just crying away, just reciting this one verse. You see this, you're progressing in ilm, then proportionately is the khushu progressing. The seed may be very good, right? But the quality will be based upon the climatic conditions and the ground, how well the ground is. If the ground is very good, climatic conditions are favorable, then there's a quality in the fruit. Otherwise, you don't doubt the seed. That accident, you don't doubt it. But the climatic conditions aren't right. Similarly, the ground is not right. What would be the quality of the fruit? So exactly the same, proportionately, proportion to our khushu, our cognizance of the hereafter will be the khushu. And that will determine the reward. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. One person says, I went to meet his Aisha radiallahu anha, and she was reciting the verse, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. Allah Ta'ala has saved us, and He saved us from the scorching heat of Jahannam. And she cried bitterly, she's reciting the verse, crying away, reciting the verse. Sometimes I explain to students that one is reciting the Quran, number two is understanding, and where nearly 99% of us fail is, do we then contemplate on the contents? If we contemplate on the contents, then we wouldn't have been behaving like how we're behaving today. Now she's also reciting, the Quran is before her, it's before us. We recite the Quran, and it doesn't affect us in any way. And she's reciting, and she's going on reciting, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَقَانَ عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. She says, I waited there almost 1 hour, and she kept on reciting. I thought to myself, I've got some work in the bazaar, I need to purchase something. I'll do my purchasing and come back. Perhaps she's ended the namaz. I came back and she was still reciting the same ayat. مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. You see the dynamic impact it has on the heart. So that then determines the person's behavior, his works, his conduct, everything will be determined accordingly. But that upon, that is dependent on how much you reflect on this. So I was speaking about إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Allah Ta'ala has identified our problem. And I gave an example of the student coming new to the madrasa. And then as he's progressing in the years, then how his behavior just changes. But then in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala shows us the solution as well. If he identifies a problem, then he shows us that this is the solution. So he says, "Inna ila rabbika ruj'a." That's the solution. But you have to return to Allah. Come what may, however you look at life, however you analyze life, whatever you talk about life, understand you have to go back to Allah. Understand that. See how beautifully the problem and the solution. Ar-ra'ahu istaghna. That's the problem and the solution. Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. Imagine the day when you'll be totally alone, isolated, right? Boxed into the grave. You are sealed from above, sealed from below, from the side, from the front, and from behind. For a few moments, they recite something, make dua, etc. for you, and they have gone. Now, you've got absolutely no access. You know, the beauty of life here, we talk about life, and the beauty is when we've got unlimited access to do what we want. Now, to the extent of the access is the beauty. Here now, you're boxed up complete, from in front, from behind, from the side, from above. So now, but you are really anxious that I want some access. Here, it's a cold day, you got something to keep yourself warm. It's hot, something to keep you cool. You're hungry, something to eat. Thirsty, something to drink. You're feeling too bored, you got some friends to socialize with, right? So you got access to everything. But now when you boxed up there, and you sealed up from all sides, now how do you gain the access? Again, the same, the Quran Sharif says, the solution is the same. Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. See how the Quran Sharif says it? وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Take a provision. For that road, you're going that direction, so take a provision. Because the best provision is guarding yourself from Jahannam, from wrong, from evil. Guard yourself from Jahannam, guard yourself from wrong. Those things, those pathways that will take you to Jahannam, guard yourself. Because that's the best provision. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. So this identifying the hereafter, understand, the verses are recited to us, sometimes it's a qiraat, whatever. But how many of us take out the time, alright, let me take out the time and just reflect over three verses. Two verses, three verses. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. The earth is flattened down, stretched out, right? وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. And whatever was within the earth, I think just threw it up. Imagine there's a major earthquake, and would that earthquake is a volcanic eruption, major volcanic eruption. And the earth will just throw up everything. All the big boulders, the treasures that were stored up, everything that was within will just throw up. Including the dead that were lying there for centuries, for thousands of years, all on it. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. Think about this. Again, listen to that verse again. يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُورِ. The day when you are thrown up, all herded, all gathered on the plains of Hashar, then mankind, كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُورِ, like moths, you know, when you see moths, thousands of them, all helpless, distressed, no direction. Imagine, you're covered in total darkness, and you're absolutely helpless, distressed. You can't call for help anywhere. What's going to be your position then? So when you are reflecting on this, and you take cognizance of this, to the extent that you take cognizance, and khushu comes into you. But if it is just tarjumah, you did that tarjumah and continued, but you mustn't expect that khushu to come into you, then you mustn't expect that namaz to have that quality. That quality in the namaz is dependent on the level of khushu. And the khushu is how much you recognize the hereafter. And verse after verse, today he read, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَعُودِ مَوْعُودِ. Again, that Qiyamah must come. Some point or the other in the recitation, they must bring about Qiyamah. Allah will bring about Qiyamah. Why is he doing it so much? That we recognize it. So we are talking about that a Muslim must win. And when he wins, then what happens to him? أَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ. I've got enough time for it. Is it? فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. And أَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَاؤُمُ اقْرَؤُوا كِتَابِيَهْ. Look again, look again, just examine these verses again. You got your book of deeds, like as though the report, you know, at the end of the year you get the report. So that report we call it the book of deeds. But you've got it now. فَيَقُولُ هَاؤُمُ اقْرَؤُوا كِتَابِيَهْ. And he's rejoicing, he's jumping with joy. He's won because this is such an exam. There's no repeat for this exam. It's just one chance and last chance. Here, if you fail, you've got a supplementary exam. You can repeat the year. There's some way you can gap it back. But there is just one chance and last chance. No second chance. Absolutely no second chance. Now, when he won that, then he says, "How mukra'u kitabiya?" Come, look at my report, man. Look at my report. But then, what was the catalyst? What brought him to this? He says, "Inni zanantu anni mulaqin hisabiya." I was convinced that I'm going to meet this day. This day of Qiyamah is definitely to come. "Inni zanantu anni mulaqin hisabiya." So this khushu is connecting with Qiyamah, with Jannat, with Jahannam. Do we recognize it when you come across these verses, right? Do we take cognizance of it? Do we reflect? What's going to happen to me? Mera kya hoga? That requires some time for us to reflect. Ayatil liqawmi yatafakkarun. That we contemplate, we think, we reflect around these things, these points. I'm going to be all alone. In a few moments, I don't know. 2 days ago, Maulana Hashim passed away, 47 years of age. No guarantee. Fit person, healthy, doing a lot of work, khidmat. And then Malak al-Maut has to just blow the whistle. Just put up his finger, gone. You can't plead with the person. You can't say, no, just give me a few seconds. لَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. You can't plead. So now, what we need to understand is, alright, one is, what will make this journey safe, number one. Number two, how to maximize. You know, we got this journey, we got this opportunity. And in this opportunity, we need to maximize, get the best out of it. So one is the contemplation, right? The second is the association with the pious. Because from the beginning of the Quran, Sharif Allah is saying, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta ali, favored class. So there must be a reason why he's talking about the favored class. That we'll have to join the ranks of the favored. Anybody got anything, he got it because of association. Sahaba Kiram, radiyallahu anhum, got whatever they got because of what? Because of association. So one is reflection, then association. Talab ma'al fikr. Azizi rahmatullah should say that you need to have that thirst, but with that concern as well, not just coming in a madrasa, in a khanqa, or wherever, in a jamaat, just going through the motions. No. With fikr, I've come with a fikr, I've come with a concern. Am I achieving something or not? This concern is come with. I'll just give you some examples to illustrate this point. One person used to come to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi. Ignorant person from the sticks, doesn't know much of deen. But the association, what it's done to him. So, wealthy person, building contractor, so he won a contract to put up a masjid in a very poor dilapidated area, you know, like an informal settlement. He's got a contract to put up a masjid there. Now look at this association and how that association impacts on the person's thought and mind, how it makes him behave. Now he's got that, so the area is cordoned off like how contractors would normally do. And he asked those people that had donated the land, is this work for the masjid? Said, yes, we have declared it for the masjid, right? So now look at him. And straight away, he declared as a masjid. He says, now, from today I'm going to call out the azan and I'm going to do the namaz here. Although the building hasn't come up yet, but it's a masjid, they have declared it as a masjid, they have given their property. So now when they have given it and declared it, now why should we be deprived of the barakat of the masjid? So I will start the namaz. Anybody joins in, if there's an alim, he'll lead the namaz, otherwise we will do the namaz. See the understanding. Otherwise, the other way is, look for a grand opening, someone has come and cut the ribbon, have a good opening, so many thousand people are coming, eating and all that, and they're going. I don't say to express your happiness is haram, but the function of the masjid, we don't leave it in suspense. Now it's declared as a masjid. Now the function of the masjid has to commence straight away. But this person is coming from the sticks. He doesn't understand deen. The association, what it has done, how it impacted on his mind. Talabul ilmi faridatun, that ilm is farz. But that association also is compulsory. Like you need to grow the something, right? What is it? So you need the seed, but you need the right conducive conditions as well. If you don't have the circumstance is not conducive, will nothing grow? It needs something conducive as well. You got the seed, you put it in the fridge. It's not conducive, it's not going to grow. Exactly the same, you need that conducivity. That thing must be conducive. For that thing to sprout out, for that thing to spring out. Right? So, immediately start off the namaz. Now, the second thing this man started, he's meeting up with Hazrat. Every week he'll come, we'll see him, he'll go, he'll come back, call him Baremia because of his old age. But I was really amazed with the man's understanding of deen. Now, as he performs on namaz, you're talking of the 60s, 70s, right? So as he performed the Zuhr namaz, for example, in the old days, we didn't have this digital, etc., all this computerized. We didn't have these things. So he'll get into his room, he will set it up for Asr. That same clock of his, he'll set it up for Asr. As he did his Asr, then he's setting it up for Maghrib. This man is, there's total conformity with the hadith. وَانْتِزَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. Don't you find it? He's waiting for the next namaz. One namaz is over, he's anxious to see the next namaz. So he's getting his alarm set for the next namaz, that I must غَفْلَتْ مِنَا يِرَهْجَاوْ. That I don't remain neglectful of my obligation. The clock will remind me. So وَانْتِزَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. See what that does to a person. How he's understanding. Then, the third thing in this person was, nearby, about a kilometer or something, there was a wealthy area, you know, like an estate or something, wealthy people living. And they knew him. Everybody respected him. Said, "Now we'll give you a home. We'll do a good job here. We'll give you a home. We'll look after, good care of you." So, no, I will remain here. I will remain in this area of the poor and work amongst them. Live amongst them and work amongst them. Again, don't you see the conformity with the sunnah? Allahumma ahyini miskino, wa amitni miskino, wa hshurni fi zumratil masakin. To live with the poor. Now, minus this type of understanding, then where your mind takes you. This is one understanding, right association, and the type of change, the type of thought, the type of mind that is created for him. Minus is what happens to the person. Now, even it's a real incident, somewhere in the world it took place, whether Toronto, Australia, America, England, wherever it took place. But the accountant that seen this, he came and reported it to me himself. So he says, now minus this association, what happens? He says, a new masjid start off in a state, you know, a state, wealthy people, very, very wealthy people, state. Now they still need to appoint an imam. They're still working and searching who to appoint the imam. So as they're working towards it, for that first 2 weeks, they're still working it out that who should be appointed. There's about 15 people, 15 ulama, qurra, all in the first row. So the boss will come from behind and say, "Alright, Mulana, you perform the namaz today." They're testing him out. Second day, "Alright, you perform the namaz." By the end of the week, They already finalized, alright, you're going to be the imam. The day they finalize, all the 20 is gone. See, here this man here is poor, his understanding is weak, but he's got the association and he wants to be working with the poor. Right? Performing the namaz, turning down that offer that he got from the wealthy area, remain with the poor, أَحْيِنِي مِسْكِينَوْ وَأَمِتْنِي مِسْكِينَوْ وَحْسُرْنِي فِي زُمْرَةِ الْمَسَاكِينَ. I ask you, in all innocence I ask you, with the purity of the heart, where did this come from? This type of a mentality, that all want to be in that estate, in that wealthy area, and here he wants to be with the poor. I'll work with them, I'll live with them, I'll die with them. Don't give me this offering. Where did this come from? See the importance of association, what it does to a person. Time is little. I think I've just got about 10 minutes left. So 45 minutes to 50 minutes. Just carry on. This Buzugana Deen and what you learn from them. You know, betray your company and how it impacts on your khushu. So, in those days, the South Africans were in different madrasas in India or Pakistan. Someone in Karachi, someone in Dabil, someone in Dioban, someone in Randir, Nadwa. So, when there's a holiday, big holiday, so they will all group together and come one place. So they'll do two things. They'll have some tournament of some football and all that. But also they'll have a conference. So it'll be rotating. One year it'll be in Jalalabad and Deoband and Sahanpur, etc. So they'll be rotating. But they were very respectful in those days to the ulama Abu Zughana Deen, whichever madrasa it was. But they looked at the senior and they would show a lot of respect. So if they were in Sahanpur, then they would make it a point to meet the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, take his dua, some advice, and then they will leave. So the Shaykh Rahmatullah, he received them, and he would show a lot of respect, feed them nicely, talk to them with muhabbat. On one occasion, the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali addresses them, and he says, mere pyare, this is how he should address them, my beloved. Saal ke shuru se lekar ke akhir tak, kitne conference kiya? From the beginning of the year till the end, how many conferences and meetings you'll have? Right? Or kitne resolution pass hue? In all those conferences that you had, how many resolutions you passed? Or, and from the resolutions you passed, how much you applied? Well, he knows now what happens to youngsters, right? When we are studying, we'll talk so well, so great, you know, that we'll reach up to Mars and everything, we do a lot of things, right? But when you come to the Maidan, then the battery just goes down, right? But as long as now we, the madrasa, a lot of claims, we'll do this. But when we're out of that environment, then we just go down, we go flat. So then he would say, Mere Pyare, my beloved, your time is very precious. Waqt bara qeemti hai. It's very precious. Iski qadar kar lo. He knows that once it's gone, it's gone. So many a times you get a student coming, you know, we didn't appreciate. Now we realize how important it was for us to be in the madrasa, to get ourselves right, to be focused in work, to be associated with the senior satiza. How important it is, now it only dawns to us. But before this, it didn't dawn to us. Now we are regretful, but now we are already stuck in jobs, works, etc. And we can't reverse the thing. So before that day of regret and remorse comes, value the time. Waqt ki qadar karo. You know, as a person is leaving the world, the only thing that he is longing for, lawla akhartani, labak, a few more moments. If anything he is asking for at that time, is a few more moments. That's what I want. The importance, you see. See this association and what it does to a person. How much you acquire. But Azhaji would rahmatullahi would say, magar shart ye hai ke talab sadiq ho. There is a genuine concern in your heart, in your mind. Allah will give it to you. But if it is that we're going there just for the entertainment, then you must forget it. If you're going with a real, genuine talab, then Allah Ta'ala will bless you. So one is the association then is the concern, and then is the value for time. You got that value for time, and you're scoring big way. We had a student from Malawi, so he was just 6 years in the madrasa. Now Allah, he passed away, became a qari. But in that program of his, that just 6 years, he did his qiraat al-sabah, ashara he did. He became a hafiz, and he would write in Arabic, would speak in Arabic. Now how he did it, Allah knows. One of the ustaz that used to help him says, man, this youngster, he was so appreciative of time. In Ramadan, one day he finished, learned just one sipara. One day, one sipara he finished. But any person appreciates time, Allah opens for him. You appreciate the time and you can do it. I say, where I'm going to do it or how I'm going to do it, it will never happen. But you appreciate your time, you don't waste your time, manage the time, and how much Allah Ta'ala opens out for you. Later on, when he finished his course, he used to be teaching in a madrasa. Every child, most of the children he was teaching, were new Muslims, black new Muslims. But it's shocking that every child, up to now he cries, you just talk about his ustad, he's crying. The impression that he left in his madrasa time, out of madrasa time, in his free time, is either helping the child somehow or the other, financially, whatever, with his clothing, or teaching him. He's helping him or he's teaching. He's helping him or teaching until he passed away. That was his whole routine. Now he's got a 10,000 rand salary at the end of the month, but most of the money that he's got, helping this child here, that poor, this other person here in Malawi, whatever, that was his work. That was his one ambition. And the second is, I mustn't waste my time. I must teach one child. Now it's already about a year or more than a year that he's passed away. But we talk of the person, the kind. Every day they are visiting his qabr, reciting for him. But now how did it happen? He's got no complexion, he didn't have the color. But when he appreciated the time, he kept in contact with his elders, Allah Ta'ala gave him away. So, for Allah Ta'ala is nothing. Your complexion doesn't mean anything. You are nothing. It is your appreciation. I've given you time. Do you appreciate my time? Do you appreciate your elders and your seniors? You do this and Allah opens the way for you. This is the last advice before I end. We all know about the smartphone and how smart it is, right? We all know about it. By now, I think I don't have any doubt that this is nothing less than a mini Dajjal. Not Dajjal, but something like Dajjal. Because the amount of produce it's got. Some person sent an article from the Arab News, sent it to me. I think reads emails from the grave. So that may be more interesting than read this article, that emails from the grave. We don't have technology in this world, but technology beyond, how did it happen? So anyway, this Arab here, he went into one side, second side, and you know, you get these fire breakers and all that. He's breaking all that, eventually he came to a pond side. He's watching, he's thrilled, like he never sees something like this. Anyway, as he came to this, now they told him, alright, we need to look more, that you have to pay so much. You know, pay that, he's looking and watching. At the end of the week, when he meets up with his circle of friends, so he's talking to them. Say, you know, I've seen 20, 30 of them, they're all sitting at the weekend, they're enjoying themselves, see what I've got. You know, I want to buy also. So no, you don't need to buy it. What I've got, I'll remail it to you. I'll remail what I've got to you. So the 30 friends of his, he sent it to them, right? Exactly 6 months after all this, he passed away. Now, the friends are thinking, that thing is still coming on. He is dead and gone, and this pawn is still coming onto the side. We need to see now who's the provider, ask him to stop it now, he's dead. So they contacted the person, they said, no, we need to have his password. If we don't have his password, we can't do anything about it. Now they're looking high and low, where's the password? They can't find it. They say, no, for the next 5 years, this thing is going to continuously come. You know, someone passes away, and we talk of sawab jariya. Now what will you call this? For the next 5 years now, this thing is going to carry on. So, I say, by every, now you see so many people involved, ulama, non-ulama, qurra, everybody is involved. Not in this, in the YouTube, not in that, in some porn, not in that, some movie. And it's pathetic. You know, I have to answer, every day I have to answer. But I have to listen to the complaints. But the complaints, marital complaints, problems, etc. Nearly 80-90% of the problem is coming from this. The person can't contain himself. It's so captivating. It just captures the person. You show me one person with a smartphone, right? One person that doesn't have a domestic problem, a social problem, a mental problem. He's got a problem. He's depressed. Or he's got a marital problem. He's got a domestic problem. He's got a social problem. He's got a problem somewhere or the other. He can't behave like a normal person because that phone has captured him. We are saying, Ana Abdullah, I want to be captured by Allah Ta'ala. I don't want these things to come and capture me. You know, about the last 7 months, it's gone so bad. It's coming to me. It's a thing like they call, most of you may be knowing, virtual reality. So now that thing, you know, the mails are coming to an inquiry. So he started off, the person says, no, in the virtual reality, you can buy a plot of land in Makkah, Medina, etc. Castles in the air. So you bought something, but where? No real, nothing real, but you bought it. And people are going into it. You can go and do business, you can do, buy your groceries and all that. But what groceries, if haath mein aata hai, kuch nahi, nothing comes in here. You can go and see a doctor, and you can take the treatment, but no medication. So what's happening, Allah knows. Then they went one step ahead. After all this is finished. Now the step that they went ahead was even more disastrous. Now they're saying, can we marry cartoon characters? So there's no need to get married now. Get married to the cartoon. See? So this thing, la taqifu inda haddin, it doesn't stop at any point. For our own akhirat, why? Don't live in a virtual reality, in a world of illusion, bluff and deception. The real thing, the most real thing is, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. That is the haqq. See, that agony of death, what it brings along, it brings about the haqq, the reality. That brings about the reality. This thing is just a bluff, it's a deception, it's an illusion, it's just an imagination. And فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ. And the moment this bluff, this deception is going to go out of your eyes, then you'll come face to face with reality. One last point that comes to my mind now, right? My time is up now. You told me 45 to 50 minutes, take the maximum out of it. To get our thinking right. See, there's so many thoughts, announcer spoke about fitnas and kapita and layil Muslim. And now to be connected to the right person. So, Hazrat Mustafa Rahman explained once. So, you know, you've got different sects, right? Today also, that day also, when we were in Dioban, the thing that was rife was Maududism. Some students were getting carried away, ulama were getting carried away, a lot of people were getting carried away. So on Maududi makes Misa, Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali. So he introduces himself, and he says, main to Jamaat-e-Islami ka aadmi hoon. Aur aap kaun hai? Aap kaun hote hai? تو مفتی صاحب سے رحمت اللہ علیہ میں اسلامی جماعت کا ہوں تو ہم دونوں برابر ہو گئے وی آر بوتھ سے یو انڈرسٹینڈ یو آر جماعت اسلامی اینڈ وی آر اسلامی جماعت سو واٹ دا ڈفرنس سو اللہ پاک ہیز گیون مصطفی رحمت اللہ دیٹ لیول آف انڈرسٹینڈنگ سی وین دیر از اے پرابلم دین یو کیپ یور جماعت اینڈ یور پالیٹکس فرسٹ اینڈ دین اسلام مسٹ ٹیگ الونگ Your jamaat, your name, your reputation, your people, the association that you belong to, you keep it first, and then Islam must go behind you. And we talk of Islami jamaat. When we talk of Islami jamaat, we keep Islam front, and then we go behind. We will try to keep ourselves, we'll run behind it. We won't want our group to be first and Islam to go behind. Rather, we want Islam to be in front and then we going behind. You know, I have the blessings of sitting with Ustaz Rahmatullah Ali at the latter portion of his life. I'll just end up with this story, right? The stories of our Kabir really brings up an understanding. Ibn Jawzi Rahmatullah says, bring this up here, because that's the fruit of all your effort. You planted the tree, you sowed the seed, etc. And the fruit is these stories. What they got out of that ilm. So, we went to Mustafa Rahmatullah in Dioban, sitting in his place where he would sit normally. And one person came in, and he must have been younger than me, much younger than me. But Mustafa Rahmatullah made a point to let him sit together with him. So that place normally is reserved only for Buzurgana Deena. If some great Buzurg come, like Mustafa of Azaji came, Rahmatullah, or Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah came, or Mona Inamul Hasan Sahib came, then they will share the seat. But now this young person here, and he sat down. So I was curious, I asked my Ibrahim Sahib, Pandur, I asked him, hey, who is this Buzurg here, man? I was going to meet him. So the Mufti Sahib actually let him sit with him in the same place, the same masjid. So he said, did you see that poster that someone was writing a fatwa of kufr? He's a kafir, he's a mushrik, etc. So now I saw that. He said, well, this is the person. This is that Buzurg was labeling him as kafir, mushrik, etc. This is that person. Mufti Sahib, his approach, absolutely, there's no indifferent attitude. And neither did we see the need to go and sympathize with Mustafa Rahmatullah. You know, these persons are labeling you like this. He's very sympathetic towards you. Neither did we sympathize, and neither did Mustafa Rahmatullah show an indifferent attitude. See, we're hearing all these things happening, and we need to see what was the behavior, what was the outlook of Abu Zulganadin. Were their minds so small, like a bird, or were their minds like oceans? Things came in their way. And how did they approach situations, circumstances? How did they approach? Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. You make dua for me and I make dua for you as well.